So Brother Obed is not with us today. He had asked for the day, so he's I believe in Houston at this time. So we will have different speakers this morning and one this evening. So my lesson this morning will be taken from James chapter 4. You would please open your Bibles to James chapter 4. And I know we've studied this in the past 2 months or so, but I'd like to focus on James chapter 4 and verse 4. We're going to begin reading from verse 1, and then we'll kind of talk about what the lesson is going to be about. And we've heard also that James is a practical book for us to apply these practical things in our Christianity. And so here it seems like James is telling us, and we see here that we have to do away with self and look to God. It almost seems that chapters 3, 4 is us being selfish with God and wanting what I want and not searching for what God wants from us. So let's begin in James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. So we see here that it's what James is telling us. Okay, well, you know, we need to not focus on us. Verse 4, and this is the one that I'd like for us to, this is going to be our focus in our lesson this morning. James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I'd like to focus on the first part of verse 4. Because we see here the word adulterers and adulteresses. And this morning what I'd like for us to do is define, see what the scripture says about this word, adultery. We don't hear a lot of sermons on adultery. We don't hear a lot of talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But we see here James using this word, adultery. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. But our focus in this class, it's going to be on the spiritual adultery. Is there such a thing as spiritual adultery? And I'm sure you know that there is. And so in order for understand the spiritual adultery before God, we have to understand the relationship between husband and wife. And so this is going to be the lesson, and this is going to be the focus. There's a lot of questions about the relationship between husband and wife. But once again, brethren, the focus is on committing spiritual adultery, because this is what James is telling them. This is what they're committing before God. (Clears throat) So the first thing I'd like for us to do is turn over to Matthew chapter 19. And once again, we have to understand the relationship between husband and wife and how it becomes adultery between that relationship. Now, you may say, well, what does this have to do? What does the relationship between husband and wife have to do with God? Well, we see that this affects our spiritual lives. Adultery affects our spiritual life. And we will also see and read some verses in the Old Testament, and I'm sure that you've read them before. And this morning, I don't have all the verses. I've chosen just a few because I'm like what Brother Joel usually says, you know, you study and you find more. And then you study a little bit more and you find some more scripture, and we'd be here all day. But I've chosen a few scripture for us to understand what adultery means. Now ask yourself, what is adultery? Matthew chapter 19. Unfaithful. Okay. And Matthew chapter 19, we will see here, I know that you've read this before, and this is them tempting, the Pharisees tempting Christ. And what's the question that they ask Christ? Is it lawful to what? To divorce? Let me get there here in just a minute. Okay, Matthew chapter 19. Let's begin with verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put his wife for any cause? This is the question that they pose to Christ. Is it lawful to put away your wife? So what are they asking? Is it lawful before God, is it lawful to divorce your wife for any reason? Is the question that they're asking Christ, but they're trying to tempt Christ. Verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder, or let no man separate. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing a divorcement to put her away? And he said, and I'm reading verse 8, and he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So the question posed to Christ is, can I put my wife away? Can I give her a letter of divorce for any reason? What's Jesus' answer? Is it yes or is it no? No. What does Jesus do here? We see that Jesus goes back. He says, they said, Moses allowed it. He allowed for a man to divorce his wife. Jesus says, it was not so, and Jesus takes him to what? He takes him to the beginning. He takes him to when God created Adam and Eve. So we start seeing here the relationship between man, husband and wife. We see here then that God takes them back to that point. He says when God created Adam, he created a woman for him. And so what is Christ telling them? He says then, divorce is not an option. But because of the hardness of your heart, he allowed it. So if we read, beginning in the first chapter of Genesis, in God's creation of mankind, we see here what? We see here the marriage that God has what? Has created. And we read here in Matthew that what God has brought together, they become one. And he says that what God has brought together, let what? Let no man put asunder. Or let no man do what? Separate. Now, is adultery, is it running rampant in our society nowadays? It's like anything, you know. Couples live together to try to see if we're compatible. But that's not how it was in the beginning. Couples now divorce for any reason. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And this is usually what they say when we see that God created Adam and Eve, and this is the comment that was made. It's God created man and woman. Male and female is what the comment is. But they usually say God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Eve. But again, you know, it's something that the world accepts. Now, because it is legal, you know, a lot of these things are legal in this land. Does it make it right before God? No, it does not. And once again, the reason I wanted to bring this subject up is because of the adultery that we commit before God spiritually. Keep that thought in the back of your mind. Because when God created man and woman, he created them to be one. Husband and wife. Did Adam have a choice? He said, well, I don't want Eve. Did Eve have a choice? But we see what God has created there between husband and wife. Now, the comment that was made earlier, you know, right now, the schools, you know, that young lady that shot up the... that school in, was it Memphis? She was confused, according to what they say. She wasn't sure if she's male or female. The gender now, are they allowed to enter into the men's bathroom or into the women's bathroom? How do you How do you define them? See, all these things the world allows and the world is accepting. But once again, brethren, before God, it is not lawful. And so this is what Jesus is telling them here. This is what we have to understand, the relationship between husband and wife. Now, why is it so important to understand the relationship between husband and wife? What does that have to do between me and God? How does this subject go together? Someone was going to say something. Okay. Okay. And we'll read some verses as well. But what I'd like to do is go to the Old Testament and see what relationship God had with his people. Now, also understand this, that God has never strayed from righteousness, but it's mankind that has strayed from that relationship. Yes, sir, John. And so it is what? It is a commitment. That relationship. And let's continue to read so that we can kind of move on from this. Because like I said, I'd like for us to see some examples in the Old Testament about the relationship between God and his people. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 19. And this is Jesus. He's going to tell us what adultery is, okay? So we stopped in we read up to verse 8. Let's continue with verse 9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth what? Committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, does commit adultery. So we see here the importance of that relationship between husband and wife. We see the importance that God gives it, because it also affects that relationship between you. And when I say you, it's us and God. So what does Jesus say in verse 9? What is adultery? He says, if you put away your wife, and the only exception can be fornication, and you marry another, you commit adultery. So we see here that when you have a relationship outside of your marriage, you commit adultery. Now, once again, think about this. when we have a relationship with God and we turn to, let's just say, another woman or another man, what's it doing to the relationship between you and God? What are we committing? We're committing spiritual adultery. This is what James is talking about in James chapter 4 and verse 4. This is why he calls them ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now let's turn to Genesis chapter 17. And this is God making a covenant with Abraham. I chose these verses because we'll see here that the wording and what God wants. He says, I've chosen you and your people, and I will bless you, and you will be great among nations. So God is creating what? He's creating a relationship between him and these people. He's creating a marriage between him and them. God will be faithful, but I need for you to be what? To be committed. I need for you to be faithful to me. It's that simple. Verse 1, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So God is making a covenant here between him and Abraham. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings, and shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. We see here that this relationship here, that God is, this covenant that God is making with Abraham, he says that it will be a what? What type of covenant? We just read it in verse 7, middle part of verse 7. An everlasting covenant. See that relationship that God is forming with Abraham and his descendants? What is God telling them? He says, I'll be your God. And you will be what? You will be my people. And this will be an everlasting covenant. So we see the relationship that God is forming. God is faithful. I want you to be faithful to me. Now, we might think about, about Abraham, Moses, the disobedience of God's people, everything they went to, as Moses also leads them out of Egypt. Why did they spend 40 years in the wilderness? Was it, did it take the journey? Was it 40 years from Egypt, from point A to point B? Did it take 40 years because it was they had to walk because of their disobedience? So we see here God's faithfulness to his people. The people's disobedience to God. Now you may ask yourself, well, how does all this apply to me now? And hopefully before the class ends, we will answer that question. But we see here the relationship that God is forming. What he has told Abraham. Verse 8, he says, and I will give unto thee, unto thy seed, and after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. So we see here God forming that relationship. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy. Now, as God has given Moses the commandments to give to his people, what are some of the commandments? And according to what we're studying now, thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not commit adultery is one of the commandments that God gives his people. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God. And so he wants them to be faithful to him. We said Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 16 through 19. This day the Lord thy God has commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he has promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. We see the commitment that God wants to have with his people. Husband and wife, that's the commitment that God wants us to have in our relationship as husband and wife. Verse 19, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made and in praise and in name and honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. So they're not only going to be his people, but God says, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be holy. Where have we heard these words? In the New Testament. We read it in, I believe, Peter and James says, be holy because I am holy. Let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 20. beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Again thou shalt say to the children of Israel. And this is just a thought. Not going to say it here in these verses, but when Moses goes up to the mountain, what do they do before Moses gets back? What are they doing? What are God's people doing? They formed what? A golden calf. They formed idols. An idol within that time. So they abandoned the God that is holy, and they'd rather worship the gold or that calf that they have, the image that they have created. Okay, let's continue reading. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. So talking about images, because, hey, you know, you're giving yourself to this image. You're worshiping this image. And I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And also, brother, something to keep in mind. What was the punishment for adultery or for worshiping another image? What was the punishment? Death. What is the punishment now? Spiritual death. Physically, it may be allowed because of the land of the law, but before God, it is still death. So they do apply to you and me, even though we see an example of it in the Old Testament. It applies to us as well. Verse 4, and if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go. And listen to the word that he uses. It uses this word in my Bible. And I've got the King James version. He says, when you do this, when you worship other gods, he says that you commit whoredom with bowling. That's the word it uses. Why? Because we've left this relationship and we're whoring ourselves to another image. Verse 6, and the soul let turn it after such as having familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among my his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Now, I think about these things when I read it, and I say, well, if I'd have been there knowing what I know now, I would have been obedient to God. I mean, that's just kind of my way of thinking, you know, personally. I said, well, I wouldn't stray, knowing that we have the one God. So, what's our excuse today, right now, in our time? If this is them in the Old Testament committing adultery before God, what's our excuse today, knowing what we know far as Scripture. Let's go back to James because we're running out of time. Let's go back to James chapter 4. Because we see here that James James chapter 4 and verse 4. And look at the example that James gives us. This is how easy it is for us to become to commit adultery, spiritual adultery before God. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So what is James saying? We've got to God, we're serving God, but yet we've turned to serve what? We forgot about God and we're serving the world. Now, it sounds very simple for us to turn away from God because we love the world and the things that are in the world. The scripture says, do not love the world. James is telling us that if we love the world, it makes us what before God? His enemy before God. Ephesians chapter 5. This is where we come into the picture. For those of us that have obeyed the gospel, we become children of God. We are God's chosen people. We should be holy before God. So just like God told Abraham and made that covenant with Abraham, that relationship with Abraham, he wants to have that same relationship today with you. And he says in Ephesians chapter 5, let's begin with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, my question to you is, who is the church? The believers. The obedient. We make up the body of Christ. God has made you holy before him. He has made you a part of that nation that God wants for you to serve him, to have that relationship with God. The Apostle Paul here uses Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. He is the one that purchased the church by shedding his blood and purchased the church. When we become a part of that church, he says that he has cleansed it to what? To present it to God without what? Blemish and wrinkles. Now, compare that to husband and wife. He says, husbands, love your wife. Just like Christ loved the church and died for it. So we see that relationship that God wants us to have with him. This is why God gives so much importance to what he says here as far as a marriage between a husband and wife. Do not commit adultery before God. And so God, through his son Jesus Christ, is purifying his bride to present her before God again without blemish or wearing that, we might say, that white dress. And that includes you and me. So what is Paul saying here? That as the bride, we need to be faithful to the husband, which is Christ, which is the head of the church. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we won't go there because we've got a couple minutes left, Jesus is going to present his church to God. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The last verse that I'd like for us to read is in 1 Peter. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. Now, this is for those that have obeyed the gospel. This is what Peter is telling us. This is what we are. This is the relationship that we have with God. He says that you are a chosen generation. Wasn't that what God was telling them in the Old Testament? I've chosen you. You will be my people. He says here, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. And so we see here what James, when he talks about ye adulterers and adulteresses, is that we commit adultery, spiritual adultery, before God, because we choose to love someone other than our spouse, other than God. Now, hopefully we could come to the understanding that God, like we read in the Old Testament, he wanted to be their God. He wanted them to be his people. Same thing today. We just read it in Peter. This is what Peter is saying. We're that holy nation before God, and we need to be holy before God. So that is our lesson for this morning. And we will continue with our services